I gotta not much time. Bathsheba, send King Solomon in at once. My son, he has to know. My son.
My king.
My successor, third king of Israel. You must know, so our Yahweh can stay with us before I go. 75 years wears on a king. It all began in the fields of my father. I was tending to his sheep, and the servant came to me. He was so urgent, I thought something terrible had happened, and he had prepared me. He told me that the prophet Samuel was here at our family. What would he be doing? So I went, and I saw him with my brothers, and he caught my eye. And it was almost like a glimmer had happened. There was something different about this situation. And I knelt down before him, and he anointed my head like this. And he then said that I was the anointed one. And I looked at my brothers who were better looking than me. They were stronger. They were warriors. I was the youngest. Why had God chosen me? But Samuel said something to me that will always stick with me, my son. Let it stick with you too. He said that God does not look at what man looks at, because man looks at the outward appearance, but our God, he looks at the heart. I believe that. I live that the rest of my days. But my brothers treated me a little bit differently that day. My father seemed to favor them. He gave me all the jobs of delivery and late nights out in the fields. But my son, you must never be too proud to take any job that Yahweh brings before you, because he always seems to prepare us. It was there out in the fields that I learned to fight. I delivered one of my sheep from the mouth of a lion. I took my sling and I slayed that lion. The Holy Spirit was upon me, you see, my son. And I learned to play music. I learned the harp, and I became good. And 3 years later, I was called to the palace. My first taste of the palace was because Yahweh had sent me there to soothe our king, King Saul, who he had an evil spirit. And when I would go play, the moods that he was in, but as I began to play, I could feel Yahweh in my fingers, and he just soothed the air with the harp. It's still laughable to me how a 14-year-old could soothe the king. Our God is good. Our God is faithful, my son. But it was out in the fields where I began an intimate relationship with God. I would just sit back, play my harp, and sing, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures for his name's sake. Oh, my God saves. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me." My son Solomon, never lose those songs in your heart. Never lose the praise. Declare them gladly, my son, because our God is with us and he deserves our praise. It was not long after, about 3 years, I was a little younger than you, my son, and my father had sent me out to the battlefield because my three brothers had been there, and I took food to them. And as I was delivering the food, I got to them, and I could hear this Philistine blaspheming our God. And I could still see him. He's right there. I could see him. He defied the armies of our God, and I could not let that stand. I looked at all of my men, all of our men, my brothers. They did nothing. But my heart, I had to do something. I went to our king, King Saul, and he tried to give me his armor, but I wasn't totally filled out yet as our king was. It didn't fit, so I took what I had. I took my sling, I gathered 5 smooth stones, and I walked up to that giant, and I said, "How dare you defy our God?" And he laughed at me. My son, he laughed at me. He turned to his army, and he laughed. "How dare you send a scrawny little guy like this to fight me? army of Israel, and I said, you may come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of our God. He got angry. And so he started to charge me, and I slung a stone at his head, and I could see Yahweh as he guided it through his skull right into his brain, and he dropped. And just as I had told him moments before, I took his sword, and I cut off his head. And I sent that head back to Jerusalem so that our armies would know who wins our battles for those who declare him as their Lord. And no Philistine rat could take that away from us. Yes, Father. It was the next 3 years he had given me his daughter Michal in marriage for that victory over Goliath. And I spent the next few years in his army. But as I went through battle with my man, I could feel the Spirit upon me. He was as real as you are to me right now. And I had a conversation one time with a real angel, my protector. And he told me how my God was with me and that he had won all these battles. And my prayer every day, my son, and I hope you adopt this, is that God would reveal my faults, reveal my weaknesses, and in those times that he would be with me and that he would guide me through, and that wouldn't be tested like it was. When I was 51, I'd become king of Israel. I was to be out in battle with my men. But the war, it wasn't that big, so I thought I could stay behind it at the age of 51. All the battles and scars, I just didn't have it in me anymore. One night, I woken up from a nap, and I went out just a stroll to look at my kingdom. And then there she was, this woman bathing on top of a roof. And I could feel inside of me, my heart began to pump. And my desires, I needed her, I wanted her. I fought it though, but I sent for her. And she came, your mother Bathsheba came, and we had a night together, and I now find out a few weeks later that she was pregnant. I wanted to know who she was exactly, who she was married to. Uriah, one of my finest warriors, she was his. And so I got him to come back, and when he wouldn't spend a night with her, which would cover up what I had done. But my God wanted me to be honest. And so I killed Uriah to marry your mother, Bathsheba. Still to this day, it haunts my dreams. But then Nathan, the prophet Nathan, came to me through the leading of the Spirit. And he told me the story of this man with thousands of sheep needed a sacrifice. His servant had one sheep. And so this one sheep that this servant's family loved, that master took that sheep and sacrificed that sheep, leaving that man with nothing. And as I ordered the death of him, Nathan said these words that still again ring true with me. Nathan told me that that man was me. And I hit my knees and I cried out to my God, have mercy on me, my God. Cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence. Lead me to your will. And my heart was free at that moment. But I grieved because that son, that he died. And so I grieved for days at the mistakes that I've made. But I knew our God, he's a forgiving God for those who seek him, who have a heart for him. Solomon, I'm about to leave you. Be a man. By observing God's requirements, obeying his law, so that he will never leave our family. He will never forsake us, my king. Solomon, I need you to become the ruler, become the man after Yahweh's own heart.
Yes, my Father.
We are going to be working through Heroes of Faith, and so each week you'll hear from a different perspective, one of those who will be sharing and helping you to be able to see a little bit firsthand what that might have been like. I want to focus on the fact of David, a man after God's own heart, and what that looks like. The fact is that all of these people, as we're talking about, being heroes of faith that could help us to better understand that particular time. The scripture I want to share, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. An interesting thing, and we look at David, and you might look at some of these people in Old Testament characters or New Testament, you look at them through a lens that thinks they were probably perfect in all that they did. And the things that they did weren't, like, if they were, weren't so bad, whatever. Well, no more clear character of one who both failed and succeeded than we see in David. And so I don't know which one of you would say, okay, certain characters would be your favorite character that you'll be hearing about this time, but it might help you as we're walking through that to be thinking about those a little bit. Next week, the character that we're talking about is going to be Daniel. I'm sorry, I don't have power here. If you could make sure you'll fix that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness to us and for what you're doing. Teach us this moment and the few moments we share. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. First, David was chosen by God. So let's look at a few things about David so we can understand. He was the one chosen. And as we would see, scripture says God chose based on his heart, not his appearance. So think about that. Man was looking at the appearance. They wanted the tallest, the biggest, the strongest, the best looking, whatever. Which is kind of our present Hollywood mentality, isn't it? Like, you know, you think about the visibility, and we say that, you know, somebody doesn't look, for example, presidential in these all of these races that were going on. And I don't know, I'm sure you're all as weary as I am of all that's taking place. And it kind of leaves you very questioning, okay, what? But the fact is, you know, they say Abraham Lincoln, for example, recognized one of our greatest presidents, probably couldn't be elected because he wasn't so good looking. He didn't have a presidential appearance. So our present culture is so physically oriented and so looking into the physical that it's probably kind of hard for us to be able to get past that. But that isn't anything new. David would not have been selected. Now, although he was good-looking and strong and all that sort of thing, he was not the full size of his brothers and would not have been the one they would have chosen. Said the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. That's the brother that he's rejected, not David. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's easy for us to be able to look at outward appearance and make judgments. And we really have to be very cautious. That's called prejudice. When you look on the outside and you make a judgment of what you think is on the inside. We don't know. You don't know the motive of a person. You can't look on the outside and then think you know what's on the inside. You don't. And that's why it's so important that we let God take care of that, and we don't try to work that out ourselves. The fact is, God chose and anointed him at 16 years of age. He never became king until 30 years of age. So, you know, you look at 14 years later, God gave a promise to David, but it took 14 years before he started to see that. And during that time, Saul pursued him to kill him. So the present king was out for him. You can only imagine in those 14 years, Lord, wait a minute, did we get our wires crossed here? Like, I thought I was going to be king. Like, it looks like I'm going to be dead. I can't do both. So we see that that happened. So you know that it must have gone. So what happened in David's mind during that 14 years? So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he brought and anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. So we see that Samuel came, anointed David. David was going to be the king. But that wasn't the end. If God gives you a promise for something, don't necessarily doubt it just because it doesn't happen in the time frame you think it should. Don't doubt it. Hold on to the promise. Believe God's promise. Believe that what he's going to do. God chose David to be listed in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. So if you want to read over some of those by faith, what happened in their lives, read over Hebrews 11. It's a great way of seeing. But it said, even in closing in that chapter, it says not all of them were able to see those promises. And so we may not be able to, but it doesn't mean God is not going to fulfill those. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of, and then it lists a whole bunch of those, including David. God chose David to be the ancestor of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, as Jesus was often called, the Son of David. And that's what it was referring to. Now, when we look at all of this, we think, okay, because the scripture says he will be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So David was written about more than any other character with 66 Old Testament chapters and 59 New Testament references. So he was the author of 79 of the Psalms. Now, he didn't write all of them. Some think David wrote them all, but he didn't. But he wrote 79 of those. And so as we see that, you know, there's a great thing as you look through the Psalms. I don't know how many of you say the Psalms is one of my favorite things to read? Okay, yeah, quite a few. And why? Because it's so personal. It's so firsthand. It often reveals exactly what you're thinking and feeling. David was a man after God's own heart. He said that in Samuel. He said that again in Acts. So we see that that was what God was looking for. So what did he have that God wanted? Well, David had great faith. So one of the things, if you want to be a person after God's own heart, faith is an important part. So what does that mean? He said, the Lord had rescued me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear. He'll rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Here's what David did. He reflected on what God did in the past that gave him faith to believe what God could do in the future. If you'll notice, that faith journey, the items get bigger. So if he could rescue me from the lion and the paw of the bear, okay, that was out as a shepherd, then he's going to rescue me from this Philistine. This is a giant, has the whole army cowering. And what happens? David, little guy, goes out to meet him without armor because the armor was too big. And he goes out to meet him. So, but why does he go out to do that? Because by faith, God had helped him in the past. So by faith, he believes God's going to help him now. The fact is, David loved the word of God. So I tried to think about what are the things that made David a man after God's own heart? Because he certainly blew it big time. He blew it big time. But here are some things that were unfailing. He loved the word of God. He says, Psalm 119, how I delight in your commands, how I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. So there was a meditation. There was a thought process. That was all a part of that. David was a thankful follower. So we see that, okay, he was a, looking at that, he was a man of faith. He loved the word of God. He was a faithful and thankful follower. And so as we see that, he says, I wash my hands to declare my innocence. I come to you, your altar, O Lord, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of your wonders. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So thanksgiving is an important part of who he was. David was repentant. We see this very clearly, that David, his sorrow for his sin and so what he did. As you know, his greatest sin that we are aware of, and I know all sin is equal, so I'm not trying to value that in that sense, but his greatest impact of sin, and which how we would look, he shouldn't have been out on the roof at that time, wrong time period. He shouldn't have been up there. That's when the women bathed on the roofs, and so he already was stepping into places he shouldn't have been. Well, when he got there, he saw this beautiful woman taking a bath, Bathsheba, and so then he sent for her, and then they conceived a child. Then to try to erase their sin, what does he do? He has Uriah come home to sleep with her, but that didn't work out. He was such an honorable man. This is horrible. He was such an honorable man, he wouldn't sleep with his wife because he felt like, if all of my soldiers can't be with their wives, it's not fair for me to be with my wife. So he actually slept on the outside. Okay, blows that. David thought he could cover up his sin as a result. That didn't work so well. So then what did he do next? Uriah is his main guy. He sent him into the army, told the army to retreat, and left him out there on his own. So he was killed as a result. So basically, murder was covering up the sin of adultery. So, I mean, here we have this incredibly horrible situation that he's gone through, and David's done all of these things. And yet he's called a man after God's own heart, because you think that would erase everything, right? Let me say, your sin does not erase God's thoughts of you or his plan. Now, David writes this, and we just heard Pastor Ryan share that. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. He wrote this as a result of his sin, and this is his confession as he's coming. And he says, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. So not only just forgive me for my sins, but wash me from my guilt. There's great importance of understanding, if you're going to move beyond, you can't just ask for forgiveness, but you have to receive his grace so that your guilt is erased as well. Now that's the part that we struggle with, right? We keep beating ourselves up over our sin, and whatever it is, that continues to happen. Now, let me say, David did not go without consequences to his sin. And just because you have forgiveness doesn't mean you've erased consequences. David lost that first child that came, and they said, and then he was confronted by his sin, as we saw through Nathan and all that was there. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You'll be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Purify me from my sins. I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves, that I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer you one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. It's a great, great prayer. And, you know, for each one of us, whatever has been a part of our life, it's a great prayer to be able to offer. David was honest. So we see one who is thankful. We see one who loved the word of God, one who's a man of faith, one who's repentant, and one who is honest. You can't go any other way than to look at David's writings and know there's an honest man. He's not pretending that he's not feeling things. He's telling you. He tells, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is your God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now, he goes through his whole feelings. You feel what David feels. I mean, he feels discouraged. He feels sad. He feels overwhelmed. I mean, he's honest about all those feelings. If you're going to ever have victory in your life, you're never going to have it if you're not honest. That's the important remembrance and takeaway. Now, David also practiced the power of praise. So when I look at these things and I try to think, why was David a man after God's own heart? That I might sing praises to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. You will see hundreds of verses in those Psalms that talk about praise and thanksgiving. Over and over and over. It's just going to keep doing that. So let me ask you the question, how will you be a man or woman after God's own heart? What do you need to put into your life to see that happen? I started to ask some questions. What are you believing God to do in or through your life by faith? What are you believing? I mean, I want to be a man after God's own heart. That's my desire. That's my heart. And I would be confident that that's what most of you would say as well. You would say, yeah, I want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. So what does that look like and what do I need to do? Well, first, you need to be believing God to do something. So if he's done something in your life in the past, what are you believing him to do in the future? And it's going to be bigger than what he's already done for you in the past. So by faith, I'm trusting God to do something. So think about that. If you don't have something in your mind, make that your prayer this week. Be thinking. Two, how much do you love the Word of God and how often do you read it? You know, I think it's just totally ludicrous when people say, I love the Bible. And I say, well, do you read it? Well, no, but I really love it. I don't think so. You have to read it if you love it. And so that needs to be a part of your life every day. It just needs to be a part of your life. So reading the Word of God on a daily basis is going to help you to be able to transform. There is no way you can be able to build inside of you the spiritual strength that you need to battle what's before you. Anyone who would say, I don't read the Bible every day, but I'm spiritually strong, I doubt it. I'd like to hear what's going on in your head, what's going on in your life, because there's no other way. The Spirit of God uses his word as our nourishment to our spirit, and it strengthens us. And it's like taking vitamins every day. You don't say, boy, I feel better now that I took my vitamins. But you don't take all of that. You don't take what's needed for your life, and you'll show the consequences of it. You'll fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to struggle. You're not going to overcome. That's going to happen. So the Word of God is going to help you be spiritually strong. Three, how characteristic is thanksgiving a part of your life? Are you thankful for what comes into your life? Are you quick to be able to give thanks for what God is doing? Or are you muttering, mumbling, and grumbling? Okay, thanks. It needs to be a part of your life. And if you want to be a person after God's own heart, you need to build that into your life. So, is there an area of your life that needs repentance? Is there a secret sin to forsake? If you're going to become a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart, you've got to make sure that you're honest with God. And if there's sin in your heart and in your life and you're practicing, you think nobody else knows, trust me, it weakens you spiritually, creates a barrier between you and God, and prohibits you from being all you need to be. How do you need to be honest with God? Are you holding something against God that you feel he has not delivered? Are you angry about something in your life that has not turned out the way you think it should? Are you bitter? Sometimes we think we earn points with God. Sometimes I think I do so many good things and then God owes me. God doesn't owe you anything. You owe God. And that's what you have to remember all the way through. It's not because I've done so many good things that now God owes me. No, I continue to owe God. What can I do to serve him? And I can't allow myself to become bitter and angry I only hurt me in that process. You can't do it. Do you need to practice the sacrifice of praise? Sacrifice of praise when things aren't going well, but I'm going to praise God anyway. It's not turning out the way I think it should, but I'm going to praise God anyway. Do you need to give praise in spite of your circumstances, or do you need to release a difficult area to God and to just praise Him and say, Lord, I'm just going to release it to you? You know, I don't know what it is. Become a man or woman after God's own heart and discover the power of God as it is released in your life. We do this often, but would you put your hands straight out like this for me? And I don't know what it is in your life that you're struggling with. And I don't know if it's praise, an area of praise that you need to give God. I don't know if it's a thankful area. I don't know if it's the word of God. I don't know if it's a secret sin that you've been struggling with. But if you just imagine it, sit right there in your hands. And as we pray, I want you to turn your hands over and let go of it, okay? Father, we come this morning realizing our trust and hope needs to be in you. Lord, there are some that have a secret sin in their life this morning. They're seeing it right there in front of them. But they want to become a man or woman after God's own heart. And so this morning, they're releasing it. There are some who have really lost praise or thanksgiving as a part of their lives. They have really not been thankful. They have not offered praise. And they've allowed anger or maybe bitterness or resentment to come into their hearts. And so, Father, right now, as they release it, I ask that you would help them to be able to find that freedom. There are those who've been careless about the Word of God. They have not used it in their life on a daily basis, not given the thought that needs to. Let them be determined that this is different. There are those, Father, who have not really been honest about their feelings, their circumstances, and place. Let them be honest today with you, because you already know us from inside and out. There are those that have, by faith, have not taken that next step to believe something greater that you want to do through our lives. Some of us are still holding on to promises. Help us to do it with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that you're going to work and you're going to answer. Lord, we turn our hands over and we release this into you. We're believing, Father, by faith, as you have made and chosen David after a man after God's own heart, that you're choosing us as people after your heart, that you love and want to bring your grace into their lives. Help us to go from this place trusting you in greater ways. We'll give you thanks for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.